Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthanilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And today is November 30th, 2017. A week has gone by since we celebrated Bhagwan's birthday. But those vibes are still there in Prashanthanilayam. You walk around the place and you look at the faces of the people, look at the people who are still lingering on in Prashanthanilayam, just soaking in the bliss of the birthday celebrations. I have heard so many just tearing away at the thought of leaving Prashanthanilayam. In fact, I met a young adult from Germany who had come to Prashanthanilayam for the first time, even though she had known Swami for 10 years. And she was saying how as soon as she entered the Sai Kulwant Hall, she felt such strong waves of bliss overpowering her that now she just does not want to leave this place. The thought of leaving Prashanthanilayam was making her cry. That is the magic, that is the beauty, the sublimity of this place. And when I think of the 92nd birthday celebrations, one thing that reverberates in my mind, in my consciousness, is the sonorous chanting of the Vedic hymns. 12,000 people from 41 countries in unison chanting the hymns, Rudram and Mantra Pushpam. You have to see the enthusiasm in the faces of people when they were chanting, and after they had finished chanting, when I had the chance to talk to many of them, after their first day of chant during the Veda conference, someone from Bangalore said how he took to chanting because a friend brought him to a Sai center, and how he liked the sound so much that every day while returning from his office, he was working in Infosys in Bangalore, and as he would take to the bus, he would open his iPad and start listening to the Vedic hymns. And he said that this would fill him with so much energy, all his stress, all his tiredness, all his restlessness from the mind would go, and he would feel so revived and so energized. And he said that is what hooked me to the Vedas. Another shared how their enthusiasm for Vedas made a group of them to think of doing a offering to Bhagwan on his 85th birthday. They called it Rudrarpitam, wherein they decided to first learn the Rudram and then chant the Rudram in 85 homes to herald more peace and harmony in those families. And that is what they did. They offered this list to Swami, and Bhagwan blessed the endeavor. And today they feel so blessed, so privileged and so fortunate to be in Prashanthanilayam again for this 92nd birthday. Because after that 85th birthday offering, they did not stop because it filled them with so much joy. And all these families experienced so much of goodness and auspiciousness, holiness, when they did this Rudram chanting in their homes, that they continue to do this. More people have joined, and now a big group came from Karnataka, so many from Bangalore, chanting with 12,000 people in the Sai Kulwant Hall. You talk to anyone who was part of this Vedic conference and there is a story. There were emotions that were not finding words to express themselves. I remember speaking to Venkat Reddy from Australia. Listen to him.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I'm Venkat Reddy from Brisbane, Australia. It's been my absolute privilege to be here for the Vedam conference and the Interfaith conference over the last couple of days. The highlight of it has got to be the mass Veda chanting that took place yesterday. And I look forward to the repeat dose this afternoon. Actually, I can't wait. That was probably one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I have ever had in my life, to be amongst 12, 15,000 people chanting the Sri Rudram and the Mantra Pushpam. It was very difficult to describe in words, but the closest I can come is to say that that is perhaps a taste of what God in the form of sound feels like, the experience of God as sound. It was overwhelming. It was irresistible. It was a surge of energy that seemed to rise from the ground. It was like a thunderstorm from the very first Om led by Sri Vedanarayan Sir. It was like a thunderstorm rising from the ground, paradoxically, and swirling us in this energy. And it kept going, kept going, kept going, anuvaka, line by line, anuvaka by anuvaka. It just kept going. It never waned. It never dipped for a second. And when we turned the corner into the Mantra Pushpam, it seemed to pick up energy, if it's at all possible. I felt as if all 15,000 of us could have chanted forever. Everybody poured their hearts out into this chant. Every now and then I would look up at the screen and the faces of the people, you know, the devotion in their chanting, the intensity in their chanting. There were Caucasians, there were East Asian looking people, there were Indian subcontinent people. Everybody was there together, from the front of the Kulwant to the very back and the outside the Kulwant. Every face you saw was intensely focusing on the Vedam and tuning in and giving extra energy. So it was an experience I shall not forget in a very, very long time. And it's been an absolute blessing of Swami's for me to be here with my family and with my daughter, my wife, and some of my beautiful Sai brothers and sisters. They say you can't set foot in Prashantanilayam without his will. I think for him to enable us to be at this Veda conference was absolutely sheer divine grace. And I thank Swami from the bottom of my heart for making that happen for us.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Sairam.
So that was the bliss of the first international Veda conference. You heard it from a young adult from Australia, Venkat Reddy. And in the previous episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside, we had a conversation with Mr. Subramaniam Gorti and Mr. Narayan Sar, the two key people who had worked behind the scenes tirelessly to make this conference happen. And today, we will listen to more stories. We will listen to how Swami inspired so many to put in so much effort for months together. What was their motivation? How did the program emerge? What was the original idea? And how new dimensions got added to it at different points in time, making it finally such a grand offering at the Lotus Feet. So this is what we will discuss today in this episode, the fresh episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Embodiments of love.
Chantini lopalu unnadi kani bayata ledu.
Peace is within, not outside.
Outside no peace, only pieces.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today, as I just mentioned, we are going to discuss behind the trailblazing first International Veda Conference 2017. One inspired instrument that Swami had been shaping for years for this conference is Mr. Subramaniam Gorti, National Veda Coordinator. The last time he was here with us, he shared how the All India President, Mr. Nimish Pandya, saw a video of mass chanting being done by Buddhist monks, and this was in an impressive location, and the whole ambience and the whole effect of that was so beautiful. That caught the attention and the imagination of Mr. Nimish Pandya, and he felt, why not we do something of the similar kind with Vedic chants? Swami has emphasized so much on the Vedas and it's a part of the daily routine in Prashanthi Nilayam, why not in a landmark location like the India Gate in Mumbai or the Palace Grounds in Bangalore, in a huge place, have a mammoth gathering, chant the Vedas? And even as they discussed all this, they thought that maybe we should do it first in Prashanthi Nilayam, at Bhagwan's presence, in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Sai Kulwant Hall. And that is how the whole endeavor started. And we saw as culmination November 20th and 21st, the first International Veda Conference. Mr. Subramaniam Gothi was given the opportunity to draw the blueprint for this, and he was the one who led the execution of this beautiful endeavor that fell on the team which was led by Mr. Gothi. In the previous conversation, he shared how they had been working passionately to disseminate the Vedas through the length and breadth of the country much before this idea of the conference happened. In fact, this is an activity, this was his offering to Bhagwan, which he had been doing for years, and to facilitate this process to help take Vedas to many people, he had learned to use technology. So through webinars, they were creating small groups and teaching Vedams every other day, every weekend. In fact, with time, they created audio modules, they created texts. So somehow, Vedas should reach to many homes, to many hearts, and people should benefit from what it can confer on them for their happiness, for their well-being. So this was what Mr. Subramaniam Gothi and his team were doing for many years. And of course, all of this acquired a new dimension, a new thrust, when Bhagwan made Veda chanting a regular affair in Prashanthi Nilayam in 2013-2014. And with all this background, when the All India President mentioned to him about the Veda conference, Mr. Subramaniam Gothi was so delighted. I mean, it was a huge opportunity that Bhagwan had conferred on him. And that is how the whole endeavor started. And I was very curious to know what motivated Mr. Subramaniam Gothi to take to the Vedas. Why is he so passionate about chanting? What was the driving force for him to spend time, energy, money and go to the corners of this country and teach Vedam to different groups?
We'll go back to the roots. When did you get interested in Vedam, and how and why?
Oh, well, by Bhagwan's grace, I am the third generation devotee of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. I don't call myself as devotee because Bhagwan said, I remember, that handful of devotees. So I'm very careful while claiming myself as devotee. But yes, disciple or follower or whatever you can say, third generation.
Okay.
And my grandfathers on either side, mother, father side, they were all scholars, great scholars, but somehow my father and uncles, they took to, studying in English medium, and English kept them preoccupied, and they couldn't pursue this much. I guess somewhere it was there in my gene, and I was scouting for it. And I started my career pretty early in 1989 in Chennai, by Bhagwan's grace. Then I moved on, and I was there in Visakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh in 94. And in those days, this audio tapes used to be available. And because this Mantra Pushpam was very attractive to me, and I used to hear this, all these Vedic hymns, recitation of Vedic hymns at home, because my father would engage a qualified priest for all these auspicious occasions at home. And after the worship is over, they would offer chantings, various chantings. Somehow, I was very fascinated by Mantra Pushpam. So, I came across one small stall, and where these cassettes were available, and I picked up one cassette, and see how Swami works. That cassette had only this Rudram and Mantra Pushpam. And I now remember, then I was not aware of what Rudram was then, honestly, And Mantra Pushpam was very rhythmic and all that. Then I would also, you know, give chorus. Ye evam veda, yopa mayatanam veda, ayatanavan bhavati. So very, very fascinated, and I was listening. Then 2004, I moved out to Mumbai, and I heard that Bhagwan was exhorting to learn Vedas, and along with another brother of the Sai organization, we both of us started scouting for a Vedam teacher, and we approached quite a few alumni, and they were preoccupied in a place like Mumbai, and somebody said he would make himself available, and finally that also fizzled out. Then that brother of ours, he said, I know of a person, and he also learnt Vedam by listening to the cassette. His name is Maunish Vyas. Then we approached him, and he agreed, because he's very fond of teaching Vedas. We started the classes at Sai Prem, that center, Sai Center, which was inaugurated by Bhagwan in 1990.
In Dharmakshetra?
No, Sai Prem in Navi Mumbai.
Navi Mumbai.
It is Dharmakshetra in Mumbai. Sai Prem is in Navi Mumbai.
Okay.
So there we started on every Thursday early in the morning. For that there used to be a lot of preparations. Sometimes I would come from office and stay there overnight and attend the classes early in the morning.
You are really, really passionate.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. Mm. And that continued for some time, and we took quite a long to learn the Ganapati Atharva Shisham to begin with. And 2005, Bhagwan gave us the first opportunity. I think nobody else was given this opportunity ever outside of Prashanthi Nilayam to chant in front of Bhagwan. And we did not know much of anything. We knew only Ganapati Atharva Shisham, and that only we chanted. So we were given the opportunity to lead the Vedam.
Wow.
So that was really very, very motivating, and further we took it forward, and we learnt other suktams, then started offering this Gruha Shanti Veda Parayanam.
Mm-hmm.
Visiting, I think it was 81st year, 81st birthday or something, we visited 81 households.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a sankalpa that Bhagwan, we would visit 81 households and offer you this chanting of Vedic hymns for the welfare of that household at your lotus feet. And we took the signature of all these nine chanters. We had a team of nine, and all of us signed and gave it to our state president, Mr. Ramesh Shavan, to in turn give it to Bhagwan. So like that, it continued. Then
wow,
that is how I got into this. I'm still learning. I'm a learner.
Fantastic. But tell me, what was attracting you about Vedam? What you liked in the Vedam? The sound? The rhythm there? Or you can't describe it?
No. Definitely the sound.
The sound.
Sound, then the shruti at which you do, differs. If you do it at a lower shruti, it is not as appealing as it is at a higher shruti. And then it is rhythmic.
Mm.
And it is something soothing, Even now I can't explain, but Bhagwan said, different sounds have varied effects on the human psyche. So, subsequently, I was exposed by virtue of going through Vahinis and Satya Sai Speaks and all that. But before that, it was just an attraction. It is just attraction of the sound.
Wow, fantastic. So, Veda pulled you, actually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I am really grateful to Bhagwan.
Yes. And it has blessed you now with tremendous grace.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your passion for Veda has rewarded you so much that how much love you had for Veda, now Veda has poured that much of grace on you.
Now, that makes me more responsible. There is a... we have to keep this momentum up, sustain this, and take it to the next level of the
yes.
Veda movement, if I can say. Because when it is a movement, when large number of people join any activity. So now these large people, and now the expectation is that, you know, they in turn will go back to their respective places. They will learn and in turn they will teach others. Like that it will, you know, spread. So the Vedic vibrations will spread around the world. And I am praying to Bhagwan, and I am very optimistic that this would gain momentum around the world.
So that was Mr. Subramaniam Gorthy, National Veda Coordinator. Just like you cannot describe God, you can only express it to some extent and only experience it to full extent. It is the same with the Vedas, isn't it? Because Vedas is nothing but God as sound. And that is probably the reason why everyone finds it so difficult to explain the experience of chanting Vedas. But they are drawn to it. They are captivated by it. They are benefited by it. And they are blissed out with it. I was so happy to see a young one, maybe just 2 years old, little Saraswati from Australia, chanting the Vedic hymn. Listen to this darling chanting the Ganesha Mantram.
Sai Ram Saraswati.
Sai Ram.
So you have been one of the youngest members of the Veda conference. You have chanted along with 12,000 people. Can you please chant for us a little bit? 2 lines.
Vim kevin upamasva vastanam yastava jambaman manaspata asyambhanoti besiv sadhanam pano devi saraswati
pajanevati
dinam petteyapattu Ganesha Nama Saraswati Nama Vayu Vyo Nama.
Wow, did you realize that your name actually comes in the mantra? Saraswati comes in the mantra.
That's the line she always forgets.
So that was Saraswati being helped a little by her mom. Wasn't that sweet? It is so heartening, isn't it? So fulfilling, so amazing how Swami works and how Swami is now playing out in the lives of such tender hearts, and how Sanskrit and these chants are rolling on their tongues, and how at such young age they are filled with such powerful vibrations. We are creating a beautiful world. We are definitely creating a world of enlightened beings. Her mother, Shyamala, she was drawn to Bhagwan many years ago, but her calling to the Vedas happened in 2006. Here is her story.
Sai Ram Shyamala, please tell us, how has this journey been all the way from Australia coming to Prashanthalam to participate in the conference? Did you look forward to it?
Oh, Sai Ram Vishu, I really looked forward to it because it's always been my dream actually to learn the Rudram. And in fact, I learned the Purusha Shuktam in 2006, and we got the opportunity to chant it in front of Swami. And from that time, my love for Vedas began. And after this, I really wanted to learn the Rudram, and then when I heard that Swami had actually encouraged it, I started learning, but then I was pregnant with Saraswati, and I was told I shouldn't chant when pregnant, so I stopped. And so this, when I heard about this conference, I really wanted to come, because it gave me the drive to actually learn it. And so I started before I got here, and when I got here, it was just amazing. Words can't express how it felt to chant with so many people from all over the world. And Saraswati and I actually weren't even inside the Kulwant Hall. We were actually just outside in between the Purna Chandra and the Kulwant Hall. And I realized why Swami had put me there, because usually when I'm in the Kulwant, I just focus on his chair and I have my eyes open. But just sitting in between the Purnachandra and the Kulwant, because his chair wasn't there, I was able to close my eyes and go within and be enveloped by this amazing sound and just the presence of him, because of this oneness that was felt as we were chanting. And tears just came to my eyes and it just flowed as I was chanting. I couldn't help it, especially when we were saying the mantra pushpam. And, you know, just to feel him in the trees, in the water, in everywhere, like in the air around us. It was just beautiful. And I think what I'll take from this is just to be able to connect to that presence, that feeling, and to be able to invoke that again when I chant back at home. Sai Ram.
Amazing. So that was Shyamala's experience of being in Prashantanilayam, and you heard how full the Sai Kulwant Hall was and how happy people were to chant, whether they got to sit in the Kulwant Hall or not, even if they got a slight corner anywhere, that was enough. And how people from so many countries participated with so much joy. I asked Mr. Subramaniam Gorthy, what was the thought process behind making this conference an international affair? Because Mr. Gorthy was busy disseminating Vedic chanting in India. But when did this change happen? Where did that inspiration come to include people from all lands and all cultures? And how easy or difficult it was to do this, given that all have to chant in one voice? Let's listen to Mr. Gorthy share about this episode of the Veda Conference. You also had people from abroad chanting. So how did that dimension get into this?
Oh yeah. Well, as I said, the theme is very clear, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. We have to make it inclusive, not exclusive. So by virtue of that, anyway, our own organization, it is an international wing. Then All India President hosted a meeting with Dr. Narendranath Reddy, who is the chairman of the International Satsai Organization. And then it was formally invited, announced that there will be participation from the overseas. They would also join the chanting. Then it transpired in that meeting that we should lend them a helping hand in terms of the portions that were chosen, Sri Rudram and third Anuvakam of Chamakam and Mantra Pushpam. By then the audio recording was readily available. That was not a challenge. But one more thing was added to this requirement. They requested that we should come up with text of all these things with the meaning. Then I was not comfortable providing the meaning, because Sri Rudram meaning, as per the literary meaning, it is misleading.
Yes.
So then I somehow, you know, put it across to the AIP saying that, sir, I'm not comfortable. Then he said, Gorthy, you know, why can't we give the spiritual meaning? Don't give... I said, sir, there are so many layers of meaning, Bhagwan said, and it all depends on the level of sadhana of the sadhaka. And the meanings get revealed to the person concerned depending upon the sadhana. Then he said, no, I think I understand, but we should provide them a spiritual meaning. spiritual meaning, how will you come? It was again a daunting task kind of thing for me, because I had to do everything. Then knowledge, then I referred to a couple of books, and I made it a combo of meanings, keeping myself or putting my foot in their shoes.
Yes.
From an outside-in perspective, that how they would accept it, being the overseas devotees.
Yes.
So we somehow managed to come up with that Devanagari script, then the transliteration, then meaning, spiritual meaning, the gist of the summary of the spiritual meaning. That along with the audios we provided, and before that many of them were well versed.
Yes.
And they were practicing, they were all very delighted to be part of this congregation, and we were getting lot of messages, calls from overseas, that how are the preparations going on, and we want to be part of it, we look forward to seeing you all at Prashantinilayam. So very good experience.
So you had finally people coming from over 40 countries, right?
41, if I am incorrect.
41 countries,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Truly it became an international conference.
Yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So that is the story of the Veda conference becoming international, becoming worldwide participation phenomenon. One beautiful facet of the Veda conference was the galaxy of eminent speakers who had come for the conference. And they were luminaries in the study of Vedic scriptures. So there was, for example, Dr. N. Gopalakrishnan, director of Indian Institute of Scientific Heritage, Kerala, India. You had Dr. Anuradha Chaudhary, who is the assistant professor from IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, Kharagpur. You had Professor Dr. Mohammad Hanif Khan Shastri, who is a professor of Sanskrit at Rashtriya Sanskrit University in Delhi. You had Professor John Kineman, who is a professor of ecology and senior scientist at the University of Colorado, USA. You had Dr. Sannidhanam Sudarshana Sharma, former vice chancellor of Sri Venkateshwara Vedic University, Tirupati. So like this, you had so many scholars, such people of eminence gracing the occasion. And I asked Mr. Gorti, how did this happen? He said he spent days looking for scholars and reading up about all those people who have done a lot of work in this field. And he always also had at the back of his mind to look for people who would help us in the future to disseminate the message of the Vedas. Because in 2016, August, the Satya Sai organization in India inaugurated a center in Rishikesh, which is going to be a Vedic academy. So he was looking for people who could help us in that endeavor in the future. So this led him to do a lot of finding, searching and talking to many people and discussing with Mr. Vednarayan and others. And that is how he came up with a list, and constantly, of course, praying to Bhagwan and seeking his guidance. And he made this final program list of speakers, and then he spent more time thinking what would be a good topic for all these people to speak on. So you had very interesting topics, actually. For example, one of them was global challenge of water problems and its mitigation by decoding the ancient wisdom of the Vedas. Or a topic like Vedic science on agriculture and environment, a remedy to overcome good food shortage, importance of Vedic ideals and their connection with the ancient Greek wisdom. So this is just a sample of 2-3 topics, but you had so many such beautiful sessions. In fact, I met a person from Germany, Patrick, his name. He said that talk on connecting Vedas and agriculture was for him such a learning experience. He says that when he goes back, he will try and experiment this in his country. He wants to bring Vedic wisdom into agriculture. He is an agriculture research person, and this is what he said his takeaway is from the conference. So you had all these sessions in the Purnachandra Auditorium, apart from the sessions that were happening in the Sai Kulanth Hall. for those 2 days, November 20th and 21st, 2017. So after Mr. Gurthy made this list in consultation with many other people who are into the Vedas, his team, and as I mentioned, Mr. Vednarayan, also from Prashant Nilayam, he presented this list to the All India President, and Mr. Nimish Pandya okayed it, and then from the All India President's office, letters went inviting all these people for the conference. And after this, Mr. Gurthy picked up the phone and started calling each one of them. And this is where he says he felt so thrilled, because every time he spoke to any of these people, he was pleasantly surprised. Something beautiful was always unfolding.
Then the topics and the speakers, everything got finalized. Then, AIP sent the invite letters to them. Then I started following up by phone calls. And very interestingly, we also thought that we would get one Nobel laureate, mm-hmm. Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn. Finally, we managed to get in touch with her, but by the time we got in touch with her, it was a bit late. And because she needs advance intimation well in advance, and we didn't have that much of that kind of time what she was looking for. Then we dropped that idea. Then I started calling up the speakers, and you will not believe, I felt as though Bhagwan already did something, did everything in advance. I just have to talk to them formally, that's all. That is the experience I had. When I called each one of them, invariably all of them said, oh, it's a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. All of them have lot of respect for Swami. And they are not Swami's devotees as such. Either their spouses are devotees, or they came along with somebody to Prashanthi Nilayam. Then they had Bhagwan's darshan. And that is the only kind of background which I was not aware of. After I called them off, I was really pleasantly surprised that how can it happen? I thought that, all of them are not from Sai fraternity. They're all outsiders. With that bent of mind, I approached. And somewhere or other, they are connected to Swami.
But you realize that there is nobody who is not part of Sai fraternity.
Oh, yeah. That is the experience. So, wherever we go, Swami already keeps everything ready. This is actually, I must say, it's a cakewalk kind of thing, You come and everything is ready. You just have to take it. Mm-hmm. That is the kind of experience I had. And I'm grateful to Swami.
So Bhagwan was at work much before anyone got into thinking about the conference or doing anything about the Vedas, as always. And Mr. Gurthy understandably experienced this in full measure. And this is what anyone experiences when you take up any Swami's work. You know that he has prepared you. You know that he has already done so much of groundwork before he gives you a chance to participate in it. And you hesitate, but once you plunge into it, then you see how he holds your hand, he takes you through. But it is not as if there are no challenges. There are always challenges, and they are meant to be there, perhaps to teach us very beautiful lessons. And it's the same that happened with Mr. Gurthy also. There were a lot of tests, and they tested his faith, his patience, his perseverance. And one of them was, of course, the accommodation, because when you have such huge number of people coming to Prashanthi Nilayam, how do you go about looking after their basic needs? So this was one thing that Mr. Gurthy had to deal with, and he shares a little about how this challenge was taken care of by Bhagwan's grace.
Bhagwan's work, anything you undertake, he will definitely put you to test, and there will be a lot of challenges. And here also there was a challenge of accommodation. How will you provide accommodation to 1 lakh or whatever is the number, irrespective of the number? Before that, it so happened, I must say, I forgot to add, that the dates were frozen. Mm-hmm. That it would be part of the 92nd birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. So, birthday celebrations
And added on to it, if we have a mega event like International Veda Conference, so where will you, how can you provide the accommodation to such a large gathering or people, those who are coming from various parts of India and around the globe? So that really, you know, made us think through and revisit, and we said, okay, it came down, then we thought, okay, we would be okay if it is somewhere around 15,000 to 20,000. Or even less than that. That is a practical thing, and anything over and above this, we can't help. So for that, there is a very, you know, logical thinking. We thought, you know, we would seek a survey, online survey kind of thing. So that is how this online registration thing took off. So just to, you know, read the pulse of the people, how many of them would be interested to participate in such event. So that gave us a fair amount of idea that, okay, this is the kind of people they are going to come. This the online registration was somewhere around 8,000.
Okay.
Then, you know, some people didn't take it seriously. Then last minute enthusiasm is quite obvious. It is human psyche.
Yes.
So nobody can help it. Oh, I should not miss out this golden opportunity. That strikes the mind at the 11th hour.
Yeah.
So that happened, and that resulted in last minute surge. And I think the total participation was little more than 12,000. Somebody was telling me that, okay, it spilled over the Sai Kulwant Hall.
Oh,
and
yes,
people were, it was jam-packed. People didn't have chance to stand properly.
Yes.
And that guesstimate, you know, it is not exact. Is somewhere around 14,000 to 15,000, quite possible. I don't know. It may be true or it may be wrong. But that itself was a huge a challenge, and by Bhagwan's grace we managed to overcome, because it was sort of a chicken and egg kind of situation. So what is the kind of registration you are going to have vis-a-vis what is the accommodation you can provide? So the accommodation is, we say, okay, X number, say 5,000 or 10,000, whatever. But what is the registration? It was very difficult, you know, to think in terms of where to start, whether we should look for the accommodation first. Okay, we'll keep our accommodation ready, then we will see. If it is touching 10,000, then we will stop the registration. Or we'll start with the registration, that okay, fine, it is, the response is overwhelming. Okay, then we will have the preparedness accordingly. So this dilemma was there, and it was really challenging. Then finally we took a call, and with the help of the ashram authorities, I must say that, you know, their help is phenomenal, including the members of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, and they extended their support like anything. I can't thank them more also.
So that is how 12,000 people congregated, and the ashram authorities, as Mr. Subramaniam Gurthy mentioned, did whatever was possible to accommodate as many people in the ashram, and the rest Swami took care of them in his own inimitable way. When the intent is pure and noble, and when the effort is sincere and genuine, obviously Swami looks after the rest. And that is how it was. It became such a beautiful and such a memorable occasion. I asked Mr. Gurthy, why did he choose Rudram and Mantra Pushpam, the two Vedic hymns that were chanted by all? Of course, Rudram is chanted daily in Prashantinilayam, but there are many other hymns too, like Sri Suktam, Purusha Suktam, which also Bhagwan loved to listen. But why Rudram and Mantra Pushpam?
The objective is, you know, there is only one God and we are all one. So that is coming out clearly from Vedas, and we thought that this is the wonderful platform where from we can herald to the whole world that this is the message from the abode of peace, Prashanti Nilayam. So that the world community will be sensitized, will be made aware of the fact that there is actually one God and there is no multiplicity and we are all one. So with this, you know, thought, we got inspired and decided that we should have the chanting comprising of Sri Rudram, or you call Namakam, and then the third Anuvakam of Chamakam. So that is for the Rudram part. Because Rudram is all about the all-pervasive, eternal, supreme being. And so when we talk of one God, this is the best way to offer our prayers to that one God, irrespective of caste, creed, color and religion. Then the unity in diversity. So we thought that, you know, Mantra Pushpam would be very apt here, because Bhagavan Baba often said, man is essentially one and cannot be divided into different caste, creed and religion, as he is made of Panchabhutas or five elements, which by themselves do not have caste, creed, color, the distinction of caste, creed and religion.
So that was the goal, to have, make it as inclusive as possible, to send that universal message of Vedas, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. In fact, that was the theme song when the Veda conference started. The whole world is just one family. That was the thought process behind every activity, behind every endeavor of this conference. And that is the reason why you had leaders from all faiths converging in Prashantanilayam. In fact, on the afternoon of 20th, when you had leaders of all the major faiths sharing their views about Prashantanilayam, sharing their views about Bhagwan and his work, and it was such a glorious sight to see the religious heads of so many faiths. It almost felt like so many religions are at the feet of Bhagwan and praying to Bhagwan, beseeching Bhagwan, seeking his grace and guidance to lead them. All of them were saying this one thing. If there was one message that was echoing from all these leaders, it was this: Swami, the message of unity and harmony that the world needs has to be spearheaded from your lotus feet in Prashantanilayam. That is what everyone was saying, be it the person from the Islamic faith, Zoroastrian faith, Sufism, Sikhism, Buddhism, from the Ramakrishna mission. This was the message: Vasudeva Kutumbakam. We want a world of that kind. And for this, Swami, you have to hold our hands and lead the way. In fact, after this conference, in the valedictory session, we had the All India President saying that from now on, we are going to have a lot more multi-faith activities. We are going to have a multi-faith service activity in every Sai Center. So that is going to be one future course of action in every Satya Sai organization center. And I asked Mr. Gorthy what vision he had now for this mission, now that it has got off to such a beautiful start with this Veda conference. What is his goal? What is his idea of the way forward?
Vedas actually paved the way for, as far as the scope of the multi-faith is concerned, and we began with the intention of making it clear to the whole world that Vedas are not narrow-minded, they are actually broad-minded, they are inclusive, secular, and so people at large should derive the benefit out of it. And whatever misconception is there, the idea was to root out that misconception, misunderstanding or whatever is there. So I think this is the beginning, as you said. Yes. In terms of the way forward, our plan is to resume the webinar-based classes. We will also decentralize this activity in terms of staging or organizing small workshops in different regions of the country, so that more and more people will get exposed to this, and they in turn can derive the benefit.
And I think that is what will contribute to the peace of the world, because
yeah,
this is the sound which can cut the other kind of pollution. Because Swami says, ultimately, be it air pollution, water pollution, soil pollution, everything is because of mind pollution. And mind pollution can be sorted out through the positive vibration of the Vedas.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I think that is the reason why probably, one of the reasons why probably Swami is so insistent, because this, whatever he does, it is only for Loka Kalyanam. It is for the welfare of the world. And we see that unfolding.
That was what is the plan Mr. Subramaniam Gorthy has in the days to come. So definitely it is going to go great. We are going to see a lot more action. This was just the beginning, as we mentioned in the beginning, that before they do it in any landmark location in India, say India Gate or Palace Grounds in Bangalore, a mammoth gathering, offering to Bhagwan, a mass colossus chanting of creation of positive vibrations, the thought we started in Prashanthi Nilayam. So it has got off to a beautiful start. There are a lot more reflections of people who had participated in the conference, which I want to share with you. But I leave you with one beautiful reflection of a young adult from Australia. His name is Pavitran. What the Veda conference did to him, how he felt sitting in the Sai Kulanth Hall and chanting along with 12,000 people.
Sairam Pavitran.
Sairam Vishu.
Great to see you here from Australia. So the two-day conference is just about to wind up. You have one more session left.
Mm.
And you were in the Sai Kulanth Hall chanting with so many other people from all lands and all regions. And so tell us, how was that experience of being in Sai Kulanth Hall along with so many people chanting?
Om Shri Sai Ram. That was and will be one of the most memorable experiences of my life. It's really indescribable, really, because it's something unlike I've ever experienced before. So I feel like it's changed. You know how we're composed of all these molecules, atoms, and all that kind of stuff, and all of them is vibrating at some stage, right? But then I feel like after sitting in that hall, after, you know, just being immersed and surrounded by the rudram as it was chanted right then and there, I feel like that, you know, all my atoms have been realigned. You know, they've been set to a higher energy state. They've been set off to vibrate in some different way. Something's definitely happened. So I think even just being there, I don't know if everyone knew exactly what was going on right then and there, but Swami was at work, you know. And this rudram, oh, it's, I feel like its power is, we just don't know what it's capable of. And I don't know if it's fully understood, but it's definitely changing things, even on a minute level, you know, on an individual level, but I think on a much larger perspective as well.
So what is it that you think you will start doing after you go back to your country?
Well, on a practical level, I think that it's very simple to say, I think I'll just, you know, I'll chant rudra more often. But I feel like it was already something that I was doing on a regular basis anyway. But now every time I go to do it, it's going to be a case of remembering and, you know, living this experience, reliving it every time I go to chant it. You know, I'm going to hear and I'm going to feel those vibrations of the thousands of chanters just, you know, flowing through me and, you know, shaking me to my very core. And I think that's what's going to be different from now.
So it's going to be much more enlightened chanting, much more aware of what you're doing.
Much more energized and much more powerful, I think. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Om Shri Sai Ram.
So that was Pavitran from Australia. And if you heard, if you were in Prashanthi Nilayam, or if you had the chance to talk to the different people who were part of this conference, you would get similar stories. And each story would be similar but not same. But each one sharing how it has affected them in ways that they cannot express. There are a lot more reflections that we have recorded, and probably in the future sessions of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, you will hear more of these heartfelt feelings and what Veda Conference has done to each one who was part of it. You are also going to listen to what birthday, the 92nd birthday, meant to people from different countries, different, someone from Russia, someone from Germany, how was their journey and what change it has brought in their lives just being in Prashantalayam during these 4, 5, 6 days. And what is it that they experienced? What is it that they saw that has changed them forever? So all that's coming up in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Stay tuned. Time is running out. I have to bring this session to a close. Brothers Prem and Irving are waiting to take over for afternoon satsang. So in the coming up episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, you're going to listen more about the ruminations, reflections and musings from different hearts about the 92nd birthday celebrations. Thank you so much for listening. Sai Ram.